Let me tell you about my friend, on whom I depend. He's the best friend I ever knew. With all my heart I wanna serve him, with all my heart I wanna please him, do what he wants me to do. But even at my best, when I'm put to the test, there are times I've let him down. But the wonder of it all, he loves me when I fall. He loves me just as I am. Though I fail the Lord, he has never failed me. He's been everything and more that he said he would be. His promises he has kept so faithfully. And though I still fail the Lord, he has never failed me. He loves me when I'm up, he loves me when I'm down, he loves me when I've done wrong. He's been there on the mountain, he's been there in the valley, he's never, never left me alone. There's times I know when I feel him so, but he's never let go of my hand. He's always been there to love and to care. Why he loves me, I don't understand. Though I fail the Lord, he has never he said he would be. His promises he has kept so faithfully. And though I still fail the Lord, he has never failed me.
I'll do this one. I wrote about a testimony. Mays Jackson took a group of preachers to Israel. They were all griping and complaining. The food wasn't like home. The beds weren't like home. The water wasn't like home. People wasn't like home. Somebody said evangelism is strange bed, strange water, and strange people. No. But anyway, y'all didn't catch that one, so I'll move along. Anyway, there was on the tour, there was a little Chinese lady, and she was praising God, just bubbling over with joy. He said, I want to find out what's so different about her, why she's so happy. And he said, come to find out, she was drinking. No, not really. She said, for years I worshiped these little idols, but they never spoke to me. They never heard my prayers. They never walked with me. One day her husband came home and said, I heard today there is a living God. She got so excited. She went to church, got saved. And she said, I came home, took my idols, threw them in the trash, and now I have a God that walks with me. I got so excited when I heard that testimony. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me, meets my every needs.
For years she worshipped idols, oh, they never answered prayer. Having eyes they could not see and ears that couldn't hear. Having legs they could not walk, having lips they could not talk. They never uttered a word to calm her fears. Then she heard about a God who arose from the grave, who had ears to hear her prayers and power to save. She threw away her idols, opened up the Bible. Now Jesus walks beside her every day. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me. I can feel his hand in mine. Wherever he may lead me, we have fellowship divine. And though I often get distracted and I'm prone to stumble and fall, he holds me up with his strong hand and helps me to stand tall. And by his side I'll ever be. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me. He appeared to Mary at the tomb and dried her bitter tears. He came walking on the sea and calmed their raging fears. Came to John in his solitude, fed the hungry multitudes. When his children need him, he's always there. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me. I can feel his hand in mine. Wherever he may lead me, we have fellowship divine. And though I often get distracted and I'm prone to stumble and fall, he holds me up with his strong hand and helps me to stand tall. And by his side I'll ever be. Oh, blessed thought, he walks with me. He walks with me.
Somebody said, that reminds them of this old song wrote years ago, Fellowship Divine. Amen.
Fellowship Divine, Jesus on my mind. I can't believe he's blessing me this way. I'm gonna hide his word within my heart, and from his side I'll not depart. With Jesus on my mind, it's fellowship divine. When I pray to him and he speaks to me, the joy that fills my soul as he whispers words of wisdom. Oh, the Spirit begins to flow. Then I have to stop and praise his name and thank him for being mine. And in the presence of my Savior, it's fellowship divine. Fellowship divine, Jesus on my mind. I can't believe he's blessing me this way. I'm gonna hide his word within my heart. From his sight, I'll not depart. With Jesus. that's on my mind is fellowship divine. When trials come, we wonder if the Father really cares, for we can't see His face for the tears that flood. But when we examine all the blessings that are ours today, we realize trials work together for our good. Trials like these, they mold us to the image of His Son. Trials like these, they bring us to our knees. And trials like these prepare us for the work that we must do. So lift your voice and thank Him for trials like these. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory, since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace He has extended, has on Him my heart depended, and there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bounty full store. The river and grace to face forever, there'll be new grace I've not needed before. Who was that babe born in Bethlehem? They laid Him in a manger. There was no room in the inn. He was born of a virgin. He was God's only Son. The angels shouted in the night that Christ had come. Now who was that man? Man from Galilee, who made the lame to walk, and He caused the blind to see. He cleansed the spotted leper. He spoke with authority. He broke the chains of sin and set the captive free. He was so much man that He slept in a boat, yet He was so much God that the wind ceased when He spoke. He was so much man. He wept when Lazarus died, yet He was so much God. Lazarus came forth when He cried. He was so much man. He thirsted at the well, yet He was so much God that He saved her soul from hell. He was so much man. He died upon a tree. He was so much God that He rose in victory. Now who was that man crying from the tree? Father, forgive them for what they've done to me. They placed Him in a borrowed tomb. The stone held fast the door. He rose up from the grave. He lives forevermore. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man. He wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man. He thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man. He died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory.
One more from my new CD. This is one I wrote for my son's, funeral, his wedding. And it talks about Hannah in the Bible, who prayed when she couldn't have a child. We prayed for a child, said, if you'll give us a child, we'll give him back to you. And God gave us a son. We gave him back to him. He got married. We said, Lord, you can have him. He eats too much.
Like Hannah in the Bible, who prayed so fervently, Lord, hear my prayer and grant a child to me. All the days of his life we'll give him to you, Lord, and we'll raise him by the power of your holy word. We prayed for you before your life began on earth. We prayed would save your soul. We prayed for you that you would give him full control. We prayed you'd serve him and always walk in truth. And as you leave our home to begin your own, we'll pray for you. Like Abraham's servant prayed, Lord, show me the one to be the wife you've chosen for my master's son. Since the day that you were born, we prayed for you a wife, and in God's plan and in his hand he brought her in your life. We prayed for you before your life began on earth. We prayed for you on the day of your birth. We prayed for you that Jesus would save your soul. For you that you would give him full control. We prayed you'd serve him and always walk in truth. And as you leave our home to begin your own, we'll pray for you.
Amen. Brother Bo, what a blessing you've been. Amen. Let's sing 483. As he gets his breath before he preaches tonight, 483, stand and let's sing, There is a River. Hymn 483. The Lord's been here tonight. I see tears being wiped all over the building as he's singing those songs that are a blessing. Let's join together singing, There Came a Sound from Heaven, 483. Everyone, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within.
Blessing. I sure enjoyed the music presentation, and don't take for granted the fact that he just walks up here and preaches a sermon. Now, he has to prepare his messages in Braille, and he has to transcribe all of the scriptures into Braille, and it takes some time. We're grateful for his ministry and for his life. He asked me when he came up on the platform and we were singing the song, he said, are we standing or seated? And I told him, Brother LeBeau, if you don't know whether you're standing or seating, you've got a bigger handicap than blindness. We love Brother Kurt LeBeau and his family. We thank God for him. You listen tonight. I marvel at how God uses them and feel ashamed that I don't do more for my Savior. How do you feel? Listen tonight as he comes to preach. He is not a novelty. He is a man of God, saved by the grace of God, called to preach the gospel, and I'm honored to call him my friend and have him stand in our pulpit tonight. Brother LeBeau, you come, sir.
Thank you, sir. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, Psalm 146. I'm missing this mic. Psalm 146. Appreciate Brother Bob. He's one of the greatest church builders in America, really is. And he's been a friend and a blessing. Had a part in my salvation, and probably the first time I heard the gospel was at his church in Baton Rouge. And never know what the Lord's going to do. Psalm 146, we'll read a few verses out of that. I was just down in Louisiana, and they said old Boudreau was talking to Thibodeau, and he couldn't sell his truck. He said, it's got 200,000 miles on it. I can't sell it. He said, well, I'll tell you what to do. Roll the miles back to about 50,000. So he did that. A couple of weeks later, Thibodeau said, hey, Boudreau, did you ever sell that truck? He said, no, I kept it myself. It only had 50,000 on it. Boudreau was hanging from the ceiling at work, and Thibodeau came in there and said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? He said, no, I'm a light bulb. He said, no, you ain't no light bulb. What are you doing? He said, I'm going to get some time off of work. Watch this. Boss came in and said, Boudreau, what in the world are you doing hanging from the ceiling? He said, I'm a light bulb. He said, get down from there and take a week off. So he got down. He's walking out the door, and Thibodeau was following him. Boss said, hey, Thibodeau, where you think you're going? He said, well, you don't expect me to work in the dark, do you? Amen. Just had to tell you a little bit about my roots. Psalm 146, 3 through 5. We'll read three verses. This is a couple of verses that really helped me in evangelism. And maybe it'll help you. Psalm 146, 3 through 5. Put not your trust in princes, that's your politicians, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. And here's the inconsistency of man. These next few verses. His breath goeth forth, that's death. He returneth to his earth, that's the burial. And that very day his thoughts perish. That's when they forget who you were. Amen. They'll say one day, Kurt, who? Amen. Happiness. Or here's where happiness begins. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. There's where help comes. Amen. From the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We ask you to bless these few minutes together. I pray the Spirit of God would come and visit us tonight. Lord, we're just flesh and bones. Father, weary. And Father, but we thank God the inner man is renewed every day. And Father, we ask you to help us tonight. And meet every need, strengthen us, and may we see great and mighty things, wonderful things out of thy law that would change our lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 1995, my wife's dad died, and I saw her go through that insecurity after your counselor dies, your husband. Did I say my wife's dad? I think I did. My brain's not working. I came back from the Philippines a couple of weeks ago, and I've got an excuse. Your nerves turn on, your nerves turn off when you have a 14-hour time change. Your energy turns on, your energy turns off, your brain turns on, your brain turns off. If I go to sleep tonight while I'm preaching, somebody wake me up. But my wife's dad died in 1995, and I saw that insecurity. I didn't understand it, and I said, are not I better to thee than 10 fathers? She said, "Droppest thou dead." And then 1 year later, my dad died, 1996, and I realized what she was going through, that insecurity. And 1 year later, the Lord knit our hearts together with an old evangelist. I love old preachers, amen. The older the better. But we felt that security again. He knit our hearts together. We traveled around the world, Brother Ron Garrison. Went overseas, did all kinds of things, had four or five meetings here in the States together with him every year. He thought we were like brother and sister, but we didn't tell him. We thought of him as a dad. Then 10 years later, he died, and I told my wife, there's that same insecurity again. And we were with one of his friends, an older preacher, and I felt so good about him, felt so around him. He's pastoring now. And on the way home that night, I thought, there's got to be a scripture, a principle here. You can't put old preachers in your pocket and carry them around with you. Amen. And we were at our home church that night, and a man got up, an old friend of ours got up, and he said, before he sang, he said, "My dad died in 1984, and I miss him. He was always a help in trouble." But then he quoted the verse, Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And when he quoted that, he said, "God has been there all these years for me. He's never failed me. He's always been there. He's always helped me." Amen. And I thought, there's the answer. God is our help. He is our helper. He will help you. Amen. When all men forsake you and fail you, he says, matter of fact, don't put your trust in princes nor in the Son of Man. But he said, when all men, when they've done all they can and they still fail, there's one that will not fail you. Amen. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When all men forsake thee. Paul was on trial in 2 Timothy 4. He talks about being on trial, and he said, all men forsook me. All my friends forsook me. They withstood me and forsook me. Not one man stood with him. But he said, howbeit, the Lord stood with me. He found out there is one that will stand with you when nobody stands with you. I've got a friend of mine. He said for years, he said to me every year when I'm at a conference, he says, "I don't care what they say about you, Brother LeBeau, I'm for you." Now this year he's added a new line to add insult to injury. "I don't care what they say, I'm for you. When they're standing around talking about you, I'll be over in the corner not saying a word." I said, "Thanks a lot." When all men forsake thee, there is one that will not. A friend of mine pastored in South Dakota for 10 years, and he said one day, he faced the same battle all the other pastors faced. There was a couple of families that ran the church, and they were going to kick him out. And he called the old pastors and said, "What do I do?" They said, "Well, they've run everybody off. They've hurt. They've left scars. Their counsel to him was, get out of there. They'll kill you." But he decided it was God's will to stand, and he stood. And he said half of his church walked out, and all that was left was the poor people. He said, "We are sunk financially. That's it. It's over." He said right after that, a little old lady, the poorest lady in the church, came up and said, "Pastor, I just inherited $600,000. Is it okay if I tithe on it?" And then God sent in a mink farmer, a millionaire, multimillionaire mink farmer. I know y'all don't, I know I was preaching this in North Carolina. They couldn't understand what a mink coat was. And they said up there they wear possum coats, but you don't need them down here. But anyway, they sent in. God began to meet his needs. And he said when all men forsook him, he found out, doesn't matter. There's one, like Paul said, he stood with me. He strengthened me that the preaching might be fully known. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. There's one that'll stand with you. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. When your parents forsake you, he'll never leave you. We've got an old friend of ours. He just died this last month, I believe it was. He was in his 80s, but I met him about 10 years ago, and he told me his favorite verse in the Bible. First, he told me about his parents when he still carries the, at that time was carrying the newspaper article about what happened when he was 9 years old. His family was walking through a field after a storm came through. They were going to a neighbor's house, and his little brother fell over in the field, and his next brother fell over. And the mother ran to see about the boy. She fell over and died. And the father ran to see about his family. He fell over and died. And when the fireman arrived, Ralph Chapman told the fireman, "Don't cross that certain line. There's something there that'll kill you." And there was a power line down, and within a matter of seconds, he became an orphan. At 9 years old, he was without a family within a matter of seconds. He said, I grew up with an indescribable loneliness, but God. But God would not let me alone. God followed me. God picked me up. God saved me. And he said, he's been a help. He's been a father to me all these years. And he showed me his favorite verse. I'd never seen it in the Bible or felt it. And Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Amen. If everybody forsakes you, there's one that will not. He'll never forsake you. When all men forsake you, and he'll set you free. He's the only one that can set you free from sin, by the way. Mark chapter 5, there was a man who was bound by demons. He was filled with demons. And they had tried, the Bible says they had tried to help him. I'm sure the Bible says they'd bind him with chains. And he broke the chains. And there was nothing they could do. I'm sure they had tried every pill and every rehab program and every religious ceremony on this man. But there was nothing that they could do. Man was totally helpless to help this man until Jesus passed by. Amen. When Jesus passed by, he was set free from sin. It reminds me of my childhood. We read this book of a little Irishman. He wrote this from the eyes of a child growing up in Ireland, Catholic. And it reminded me of my childhood growing up Catholic. And I thought, I don't want to ever forget where I came from. And in the Catholic Church, they taught us to worship idols and pray to Mary, and Mary would pray to God for you. And they gave us this little statue in Catholic school, brought it home, said, tell your family to bow down before this little wax statue and pray. And they taught us to pray to idols, dead idols that had no eyes. They had eyes, but they could not see, ears they couldn't hear. Amen? They taught us to pray to St. Francis, St. Jude, and all those saints. And they taught us to pray to the priest. And we'd always, as little kids, we were afraid to tell the priest what we really did. So we'd tell a lie to the priest. And then because we were afraid he'd tell our parents, so we'd get out of confession. And my daddy would look down and say, what did you tell that priest? What did you do? And I'd lie to him. Amen? We didn't want anybody to know what we really did, or we'd be in real trouble. Of course, it wasn't that big of a deal now, as we look back. But I'm saying, they wanted us to confess our sins to a priest, but he could not set me free. And as a teenager, I found myself bound by sin, sincere, religious. And I thought, how can you be religious and sincere and bound by sin? I'd had no power over sin. I did things I didn't want to do. Why? Sin had power over me. And I went for years like that till somebody told me there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Only he can set you free. Only he is the only mediator. When I prayed to him, somebody led me to Christ. Somebody led me to him, said, you pray to him, not an idol, not a priest. Pray to him. And when I talked to him, immediately I was set free from those things that bound me. Only he can set you free. Amen. He can set you free from the things that bind you. Matter of fact, he wants to help you. When all men have failed to set you free, he's the one that can set you free. Amen. He can fight your battles. We are in spiritual warfare. Only he can fight your battles. I was at Brother Vineyard's probably 15 years ago when he was at his church. And I was sitting at the Bible college eating lunch at one of those tables. And I was sitting beside this girl and I said, did Dr. Vineyard teach you how to poke a man's eyeballs out and break his fingers? She said, yes, and I can't wait to try it. But we're not in physical warfare. We are in spiritual warfare. Amen? We are in spiritual warfare, and only the Spirit, only the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Christ can fight your battles. When Saul was trying to kill David, he ran to Samuel and told him, Saul's trying to kill me. And he said, stay here. And Saul sent messengers to kill David. And David, the Bible says the Samuel was standing over the prophets, and the prophets were prophesying. And when the messengers came to kill David, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon them, and they began to prophesy. They went back and told Saul, we couldn't kill him because the Spirit of the Lord fell on us. So we started prophesying. So he sent more messengers, did that three times. They couldn't kill David. So Saul said, I'll kill him myself. And he came over to kill David. And the Spirit of the Lord fell on Saul, and he fell on the ground, and he prophesied all day and all night, stripped his clothes off. God stopped him, humbled him, shamed him, embarrassed him. And the Spirit of the Lord fought David's battles for him. Amen. You got a spiritual battle. Somebody's attacking you. Turn it over to him. Brother Bob knows Gene Stokes. I'm sure most of y'all may have, hopefully not, but may have been introduced to Gene Stokes. Amen. He had a third grade education when he came to Bible college in Texas. But he said God, the man won so many people to Christ, it's unbelievable. Out there in Century, Florida, the biggest rednecks in the world live in Century, Florida. And he said God told him to witness to the meanest man in three states, Jim Hardy. He had the reputation of being the meanest man. He was a bootlegger. He was drunk every day of his life. He drank. He was a bootlegger, a gambler, a fighter. He had killed people. They said that for fun, two men would tie their arms together with leather, and they would get their knives out and fight until they couldn't fight anymore, cutting each other. But one day a man dared Jim Hardy to knock a train off the track with his truck, and he rammed it into the train, knocked it off the track, derailed it, but the man that dared him died in the accident. And that's the kind of man he was, drunk every day of his life. God said, go witness to him. Gene went over and he picked up his shotgun, said, if I need a preacher, I'll call for one. You come back here preaching, I'll kill you. And Gene left, and God kept on him week after week. The Spirit of God kept saying, go witness to him. And he said, but Lord, he said he's going to kill me. And he said, I'm really not ready to go yet. But he went back. He got an idea. God gave him wisdom. He got his coon dogs on his truck, his hunting dogs on his truck, went over there because Jim Hardy loved his dogs. So he went over. He had some real expensive, somebody said, some dogs worth thousands of dollars. Gene went over and he picked up his gun. Jim Hardy picked up his gun, said, I told you I'd kill you. He said, I didn't come to preach. I came to look at your dumb dogs. That's exactly what he said. You'd have to know Gene Stokes. And they went out and for 30 minutes he let Jim Hardy talk about his dogs. And then he said, they say you're a man of the code. Is that right? And Jim Hardy said, yeah, that's right. I'm a man of the code. He said, okay, I'll let you talk for 30 minutes. You let me talk for 30 minutes. He said, sit down on this stump with your bottle of whiskey and let me talk. And Jim Hardy sat down, and Gene Stokes began to give him the gospel. Within a few minutes, Jim Hardy began to cry, and he smashed his bottle of whiskey on the stump and broke it and got saved. And he became one of the best men in that county. They said, he said, I made so many widows, I'm going to help widows. And he began to put roofs on the houses of the widows, and he became the best church member Gene had, except when somebody attacked Brother Gene, he'd pull out his knife in the church. Brother Gene said, put up your knife, we can't kill people in the church, amen? But I'm just saying how powerful. The Spirit of the Lord is more powerful than the most wicked, wicked, evil, vile man. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord, he'll fight your battles and he'll furnish your needs. We had a trial the other day. I guess you'd call it a trial, financial trial. And for years I've just said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You called me into evangelism. And we're just going to do it by faith. I tried to figure out how do you do this. And I even got a bunch of stack of tapes from Mr. Finance himself, Brother House. And I thought, what is the secret to all these men full-time in service? And the only thing I kept coming up with was faith. Amen? You've got to do it by faith. You've got to believe God. You've got to pray when you have a need and let God answer the prayer. And we've got a brother-in-law that's a CPA, and it just short-circuits him just to anybody to live by faith. Amen? He's got it down. He's got all the figures down and the budgets down, and it just blows his mind that anybody would try to live by faith. But that's, God said you're going to have to live by faith. But the other day we had something bigger than we were, and I was frustrated, and I realized, you know what? You're frustrated. You're not believing God. I realized my faith is being shaken right here. So I said, I'm going to do what I tell everybody else. I'm going to encourage myself and the Lord. And I opened my Bible and said, God, give me a promise. Give me a promise. And my Bible fell open to Genesis 22. It wasn't like Boudreaux when his pastor told him. You open the Bible. You're having financial trouble. You open the Bible and you'll find the answer. And so a couple of Weeks later, Boudreaux came back to church, and he was dressed up in his fancy suit, Stetson hat, Lincoln, driving a Lincoln, and the pastor said, "Man, what happened? God really answered your prayer, didn't he?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, well, tell me about it, Boudreaux. What happened?" He said, "I opened my Bible, opened my eyes. I put my finger on a scripture, and I opened my eyes, and the preacher said, 'What was it? What was it?'" He said, "It was right there, chapter 13. One person got that. But I didn't put my finger on chapter 13. It was Genesis 22, where Abraham made that statement, 'God will provide himself a lamb.' And when I read that, I thought, this is not too big for God. Amen." And the next week, we were at a church. A man bought one CD and handed my wife a check that was folded. We got home. We drove home from Chattanooga after midnight. My wife was singing in the next room, "God Delivers Again." I thought, wait a minute. My wife don't sing after midnight. She moans. She groans. She's singing after midnight. I said, "What happened?" She said, "That check was more than enough to meet that need." Amen. More than enough to pay that bill. I know you're wondering how much it was, and I'm not going to tell you. Amen. But it was a miraculous amount. God met our needs when we trusted Him. He's able to furnish your needs. It doesn't matter. Live by faith. Call on Him. You got a need, get a promise from Him, and He'll furnish. He has furnished our sacrifice. When Adam and Eve sinned, God loved Adam and Eve so much, He taught them the wages of sin is death. He slew an animal. He clothed them. But He loved them so much and said, "I love you so much, I'm not going to let you die. I'm going to provide a sacrifice for your sin." And God so loved you that He let His only begotten Son die instead of you, so that you could live forever. That's amazing. If we could ever grasp how much God loves us. I don't think we really understand the love of God. But He loved you so much that He let His Son die in your place. The false religions say that, the heathen religions say that there has to be a human sacrifice for you to go to heaven. You have to sacrifice your child. You have to throw your child to the crocodiles or into the fire. Some of the false religions say they have to die in warfare, killing a Christian in order to make it to heaven. But our God is the only God that said, "No, I'll give my Son. You don't have to die. I'm not going to demand that you die. I'm going to allow my Son to die." God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that He gave. He furnished that sacrifice for you. He furnished that sacrifice for me. A friend of mine in the prison ministry, he was in Ohio, and he said he witnessed to this man. The chaplain said, "I've been watching this man on death row, and he's been weeping, and he's broken. He's finally broken after all these years. He's reading his Bible, and he's weeping." And he said he sent that man, that friend of mine, in to witness to him. He said the man looked like he was twice as tall as he was. He was a huge man. The man got saved, and when my friend went back to the chaplain's office, he said, "Do you know who that man was?" He said, he gave him a long, long name that nobody could pronounce. He said, "That was Ivan the Terrible that was responsible for killing, putting to death over 900,000 Jews in World War II in Germany." That was he. He was one of the guards there in Germany. And you say, how could God forgive a man that was responsible for murdering over 900,000 people because his Son paid for all my wrong, his wrong, and your wrong. Amen? He paid for it all. He paid for it all. There was a man the other day who I heard on national radio, and I thought, this man is so secure in the love of God. Then he began to tell. The man said, "Why don't you tell?" He's a singer. He's a gospel singer. He said, "Why don't you tell us some of your testimony?" He said, "My mother was deaf. She was struck by lightning when she was 3. She never heard me sing. She was raped, and I was born out of that crime. I never met my dad. My mama was deaf, and she's in heaven now. And I thought, this man has been through so much tragedy, what the world would call tragedy. But he said, you know what? I tell the world I'm against abortion because God loved me. Amen. And secure in the love of God. There's one that'll never forsake you. There's one that'll set you free. There's one that'll fight your battles. And there's one that has furnished your sacrifice. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He wants to help you tonight. He wants to help you. Would you let him help you? Would you ask him for help? He'll be your helper. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We ask you to bless tonight the needs. I have no idea what they are, but I pray you'd do what you do so well. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name.